stocks, bonds, ETFs, straight out of downtown Chicago. This is Zach's Market Edge.
Welcome to Zach's Market Edge, the podcast about investing in your life. I'm your host, Tracy Reinick, and this week I'm joined by Jeremy Mullen, the editor of Zach's Counterstrike Portfolio. And this week we're going to talk about a topic that is near and dear to Jeremy's heart. He's an expert on this, and I don't know much about it at all other than we talk about it all the time in the office, but I don't engage in it, but Jeremy does. And that is after-hours trading, how to do it, why would you want to do it, why it's fun, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So welcome, Jeremy.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Like I said, we're always talking about it, but my first basic question, and I asked you this when we were talking about doing this podcast, is do you need any kind of special software or, you know, special trading platforms or that kind of thing to actually do the after-hour trading? Because for some reason, maybe it's just because I'm older, I feel like back in the day, you used to have to need some kind of special access to do the after-hours trading, but apparently that's not the case anymore.
Well, kind of, but not really. I mean, you can't go on Yahoo Finance, look at a quote, and then submit an order after hours to your retail broker. You're not going to do well that way. What you really need is a platform that has level two quotes so you can see bid and offers. You can see the depth of the orders. So if a stock is trading, let's say, at $50 to $51, you want to see what's behind the initial top of book orders. So you know if you get into this stock in a volatile earnings situation and, you know, while these earnings are coming out, there's conference calls, there's other comments that come out. If it goes against you, you know where and when you can get out. So you have to have some kind of visual depth where you can see orders, you can see when to get in, when to get out.
So what kind of trading platforms have that? Like my normal Schwab account, maybe I could pay a separate access to get that access through Schwab, but I know through my own normal account, I don't get that.
Yeah, most don't, and you have to get a special kind of platform. Some of the better ones are Interactive Brokers and TD Ameritrade for the retail side.
Okay.
There are professional prop platforms that you can do. One of the popular ones is like Lightspeed. I use Tachyon. There's some other ones out there. And basically what those will do is they'll just give you the whole book, so you can see all the level two quotes, and then you can react when those earnings come out, and you can basically, you know, enter and exit the stock based on how quickly it's moving. And that's how you're making money and preventing yourself from losing money. Because if you put a retail order in and that thing goes against you, it's going to take you a while to submit that order again. And, you know, I use hotkeys, so I'm not pointing and clicking on my mouse. I actually have hotkeys mapped on my keyboard, and I can react just by pressing a button on my keyboard. It just shoots the order, and I'm in or I'm out. So I would recommend those hotkeys, level two orders, and a specialized platform.
Okay. Can you also do the after-hours trading on your phone?
Yeah.
I know, this just dawned on me right now.
You can. So the regular orders that you're going to be putting through are set to like just market day orders. So you'd have to do like a specialized order within. So, you know, I have a TD Ameritrade account, and I love their mobile app. They have all kinds of, they have great quotes, and you can put in those orders after hours and pre-market. So yeah, you can do that from your phone when you're going home from work on the train and you see, you know, some earnings came out. Sure. I want to recommend that because they are volatile and they can quickly go against you. And like I said, you can't really react on your phone.
Right.
Like you can in front of your screen, in front of your monitor, in front of your platform.
Right. And I'd be up against someone like you with, what were they called? Hotkeys?
Yeah.
I'd be up against that.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like I would win.
Well, I mean, you never know. You could.
Okay.
But yeah, I wouldn't recommend that. I mean, you're going up not against somebody like me, but you're going up against the HFTs that are trading this too. I mean, 7-8 years ago, there was a lot more people like me who traded these kind of moves because these computers weren't involved like they are now. These guys are fast now. And even it's much harder for me than it used to be.
Okay. Okay, so my next question is, now that we figured out who can or what you need to do to actually be trading in the after hours, what kind of companies should I be looking for to trade? Do they have to be, you know, big cap, big volume? Does it just have to be whatever the flavor of the day is? Or is there some kind of technique you use to find out what you need to be trading?
You know, I don't care about big names. I don't care about big cap. Big volume. What I care about is trading ranges. I want these things to move points at a time, 5-10 points. That'd be great. Because what that means is I can be more nimble. I can use less size, less capital to make more money. But yeah, like a stock like Pfizer, when they report earnings, it's a very thick stock we call. Lots of volume, won't move a lot, right? But a stock like you saw Netflix last night, that's a better stock to trade. That thing moved 20 points, 20% overnight. There was some nice activity in there. Somebody could have gotten in at 106s if they were watching closely, and the stock went up to 120. That's a pretty good trade that you're not going to get during the day. So that's what's attractive about these earnings is you're going to find moves after hours in pre-market that you will not find during a regular trading day. So it's an opportunity to really make a little bit extra money.
So let's talk a little bit about the Netflix trade, because you were watching it last night. The earnings just came out. If anyone's listening to this at a later date, we're talking about the third quarter earnings, right? And so how does that work? So you're waiting for the earnings report to come in.
Yeah.
Do you have like a special service that you watch with that to get the news instantly?
Sure. I have a couple services to get the news, but you know, I'm not really reacting on the number. I'm reacting what the stock does. I'm just not fast enough to interpret the news, like interpret what it means, if it's good or bad. What I'm looking for is I'm looking for buyers and sellers that are reacting to the news ahead of me. They're smarter than me. They're faster than me. I want to go along with the ride with them. So initially with the Netflix news, there was some activity right before it came open and they were actually selling it. It was at $100 and they looked like earnings were out. They sold it down to 98, 97 and a half. And I was like, well, that doesn't seem right. I've been in these situations before where they manipulate it before the earnings. Somebody's in a position and they try to make it look like, you know, the stock is moving before earnings actually come out. And boom, 10 minutes later, earnings still aren't out. And it's like, what happened? So this situation, it was about 5 minutes before, and then earnings came back out, and then we went straight up to 106. There was little activity in 106, and then there was a buyer just coming up, 108, 110, 112, 115. It consolidated in there a little bit, came down, and then shot right to 120. So that was a pretty interesting move.
Yeah.
Especially the guy, whoever was trying to sell it before actually earnings came out.
Right.
Whoever that was, they were very wrong.
Right. They're trying to guess.
Who knows what they're trying to do. Yeah. But I see that from time to time.
Okay. So that's something you also have to, be aware of.
Yeah. While you're, so it's a combination of, okay, I'm watching the stock to see how it reacts and I want to react with it. But also you want to wait for that news to come up and make sure it's out. Now, after that initial move, I'll kind of glance at numbers. I have a Squawk that talks to me and reads me the news that I'll also kind of, oh, wow, Netflix really blew it up. All their subs were up good. This is good. Let's hold on to the 106s that I just bought. Instead of selling at 110, maybe I'll try to hold for that 120 mark.
Okay. This brings up another question. So the after-hour session, how long does it last? So say you're watching the Netflix, comes out, it's making this move.
Yeah.
How long does that go on for?
7 o'clock Central.
Okay.
So, yeah, so basically it's we'll go from, you know, close market at 3, and we can trade up to 7.
Okay.
Right.
So
and so it might be different from certain platforms. I think the majority of them are 7. And then in the morning, typically it's a 4 o'clock. You can start disseminating quotes and trading.
4 a.m. Central?
Yeah, there's not a lot of activity. Usually activity will start around 6 o'clock, but there'll be some action at 5 o'clock in the morning as well. But for the most part, 7 o'clock is when the action starts pre-market. That's Central Time.
Okay.
And sometimes my normal schedule is I'll get up at 6 because that's when a lot of the earnings reports are coming out. So this would be 7 Eastern. And if there's anything going on between 6 and 7, I might position myself for the real action that'll come at 7.
Okay.
And then between, 30 minutes before the open is when it kind of just gets really sloppy. So I kind of shut it down and wait for the open because that's when, you know, obviously the second round of real moves will happen.
Okay. So when Netflix came out, we saw this big move almost within the first 10 to 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But then it didn't do anything. So if the market's actually open for another 2 hours, why is that?
Well, it did. If you watched it, there was a lot of volume traded. That's what when these program traders became involved. What they really like to do is they like to lock it in with between a 50 cent and a point range because they can make more money just kind of playing around with people trading in there than running it up another 5 points or running it down 5 points. So while it might have looked like after hours, it was just kind of steady, there was volume going off. I was watching it. It was trading between 118, 119, up to 120, back to 119. It goes on to 7 o'clock. But usually the big guys, they're not going to contribute. You're not going to put in the money until the open. And if you look at it, like, it's really weird. Netflix is still trading in a small range. It's like a 20% move and it just found its price, which is very interesting. I smell a little bit of manipulation here. So we'll see what it does in the rest of the day. It'll probably pick a direction up and down.
Okay, so this brings up another question I had. So have you ever seen a situation, I'm sure you have, where, okay, it starts trading off of that earnings report, everybody's in there, but then the conference call might not be for another half an hour to an hour after. Do you get a second wave when the conference call?
And those are pretty fun. So what I really like, when a company beats earnings, right, and the stock is up 10%. So let's just say you got a $50 stock that went to 55. So the conference call is 30 minutes later. And that's, you don't want to be trading like the 15, 20 minutes before that conference call, because they could say something and it could shoot up or down.
Yeah.
Right? So there's people who bought that stock based on that beat, right? And now it's up 10%. Well, let's say I come on that conference call and they just say something horrible. They got, the guidance is the key, right?
Right.
So they guide down, they guide next quarter down, they guide fiscal year down. They're saying something negative in addition to the business. And all of a sudden that $55 stock that looks so good and everybody was cheering about is now at 45. Oh, now it's 42. Now it's 40. Wow. As a trader, you can short that bad news when it comes out, maybe 54s, 53s, and you can make a pretty good move there.
Okay. So, yeah, it's all exciting.
Yeah, that's kind of my favorite.
That's why people like it.
And it can work the opposite way too. You know, like missed numbers, but they guide higher. So that 50 went to 45 and now it's back up to 55. So it can work both ways.
Have you ever seen a situation where a stock soars on the earnings beat in the after hours, but then in the morning session, even if they would have had their conference call the night before, in the morning session, for some reason, it sells off big?
Oh yeah, complete reversal like that. Yeah, definitely. And those are pretty interesting too, because a lot of people will get caught off guard in the same way that they got caught off with the guidance. This is kind of, okay, maybe this, who knows what happened? You know, maybe the stock had run too far and the sellers are just like, okay, looking ahead, there's not much room left. Let's just get out of everything. And that pushes it down to unchanged for the day. And then the people who bought that are holding the bag and they have to take it down even further. And that runs some stops. And before you know it, stock that was up 5%, it's down 5%. And while that is kind of crappy for the people who got in that day, that might actually provide an opportunity for other investors who saw that, you know, the night before, we're like, oh, I missed it. Well, here's your chance again. So that can provide opportunity for the longer-term investor. But for, you know, the people trading the earnings, that is obviously you don't want to be caught on the wrong side of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about a couple more examples. You were mentioning Johnson & Johnson to me before we went on the podcast. But isn't that like a thick stock like you were just mentioning with Pfizer? I would think that they would kind of be the same. Like, I wouldn't want to trade Johnson & Johnson,
well,
would I?
It is a bigger company, but it's a $100-plus stock. So it moves. Where Pfizer is like a $27 stock, and it has a lot more volume in the day. It's thicker. It's, you know, when I say thin and thick, I mean, I'm talking about spreads. So in Pfizer, there will be like a penny spread, okay? In Johnson & Johnson, I don't have, you know, my platform up, but I'm guessing there's a 10 to 15 cent spread in there sometimes, which isn't bad. And just looking at the stock, what it did today, it moved to like 118 down to 115. So you got a 2-point move in there. I didn't. Did you catch the earnings? Did they?
They beat.
They beat.
Yeah.
So,
again.
Yeah, I actually didn't trade it this morning.
Yeah.
So, and it's down 2%. So here you go, where there's a beat, but the stock has outperformed. So they're selling it just because it wasn't something fantastic, right?
Yeah. Another one we've been talking about is Domino's Pizza, because it got a real nice boost off of their beat and they had really good same store sales. So their guidance and all of that was good.
Yeah.
So they've hit a new all time high, I think. What about a stock like that? Would you be trading like these kind of like event stocks?
This is a thinner stock that can move points at a time. And I traded this one this morning, on the long side, which worked out. The pre-market, the numbers looked out and looked great, but you're always not sure.
Right.
And, you know, when I was looking at it, it was 153 bid, 156 offer. So that 156 offer, if I'm going to take that, that'd be up 6 points. And if I'm wrong, I'm going to lose 6 points right away, right? Because it's going to go unchanged, which would be the 150 level. So you got to be patient. You don't want to jump in right away. So what I did is I waited for off the open and I waited for a buyer, seeing a buyer. And what I mean by seeing a buyer is, when people are selling, when they're hitting the bid, usually on your platform, it'll show up and you'll see like people hitting the bid. It'll show up as a red sale mark. So let's say somebody hit 156, it's 156 red mark. And you want to see like a buyer absorbing that. And what I did, I saw that. And So as the stock trickled up, I would get long, I'd take the offer, and you know, it was slowly moving up, and eventually it just shot up past 160, which was a real nice trade. But that's one of the things I want to talk about is hitting and taking spreads. While some of these thinner stocks, there's 25-cent spread. So if you have 1,000 shares and you take a 25-cent spread, that's $250. You're basically losing right away if you're wrong. Instead of getting hit, so let's say that example, 156. If I get hit 156 with 1,000 shares, I'm long from 156 to 1,000 shares. 125, if I take that at $250, I'm giving up right there, right? So, but if I bid 156 with that 1,000 shares, I might not get filled. So for me, if I think that stock's going up, I want to take that $250 that I'm going to lose and watch the stock go higher from there. So that you can't be afraid of hitting and taking bids and offers when dealing with earnings because you'll miss the trade.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds complicated.
It is, but when you've been doing this for a while and you watch this for a while, you learn that hitting and taking is the name of the game when you're coming to trading earnings. You're not going to get filled on a lot of bids and offers.
Okay. Yeah. So it's just practice.
Yeah. Practice makes perfect. And, you know, I've been doing this for 10 years and I'm still not perfect.
So that's a good reminder. So what other little tips do you have for someone who's starting off doing this?
Sure. I think the big key is after hours when you're watching these bids and offers is trying to find the buyer and seller, okay? In the example I gave before, somebody absorbing shares, when somebody keeps on getting hit repeatedly and they're staying on the offer, somebody keeps on getting taken repeatedly or is getting hit repeatedly, staying on the bid, if they taken repeatedly, staying on the offer, that's a seller, that's a buyer, and you have to watch out for that. You can bid and offer in front of these guys and kind of make those spreads. So if they're trading at 50-cent dollar spreads on some of these thinner stocks, you can kind of make those 50-dollar cent spreads by just playing these guys buying and selling in between. I know that's kind of confusing to a lot of people, but if you start watching these after-hour moves, you'll start to get it.
Okay.
You'll start to get how they operate, how they kind of enter stocks, how they exit, and the speed of things, too. That's the other thing. Be nimble. Don't be stubborn, because those examples I gave before of a $55 stock going to $45 because a conference call comment, that happens more than you would think, and you can't be stubborn. You have to be nimble, and just, even if you're sitting
just
on a smaller,
out.
Just get out.
Okay.
Don't wish for the stock to come back. It probably won't.
Right. Yeah. That's what's hard, I think, for most beginner traders.
Yeah, definitely.
When to know to get out.
And you know what else is hard is taking profits. You know, there's an old saying when I started, one of my trainees said, you know, you never go broke taking profits. And that is key here. You know, if you bought those 50s on that example and you're at 55 and you didn't sell and now it's back at 45, that hurts. And that can affect your psychology for the next trading day as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which has happened to me.
Yeah. Is there a good part of earnings seasons to trade versus a bad part? Do you want to be doing after-hours trading on the weeks where there's 1,000 companies reporting, or do you want to do it on the weeks where there's only, you know, 200?
Well,
or does it not matter?
Well, personally for me, there's tons of earnings that are coming out. A lot of them I don't pay attention to. I just want the three or four that I know are going to be the big movers, right? So I guess stock selection is a huge part of this as well. You don't want to be watching the Pfizer when it comes out, or you don't want to be watching a $5 stock when it comes out. It's probably not going to move that much. You want to be watching now Priceline's a big mover, obviously, but it's a hard one to trade. But you want to be watching the Apples, the Netflixes, the Baidus, those that have a history of moving around. You want to be a part of that. And then take notice, like, some of my best stocks that I've actually invested in is some of these companies that had an earnings report that I never heard of, and all of a sudden the stock's going crazy. That means there's interest in this stock. So take notice of the new ones that weren't there the previous quarter and start paying attention to them.
Okay. That's really good advice.
Yeah.
What about IPOs? What about a company that just went public and this is their first earnings report? Should I be intrigued about that?
Definitely. And especially if the reaction is really good. So just off the top of my head, a Twilio is a good example. It was trading in the 30s and 40s and they came out with earnings. It consolidated for a day or two and then it just took off and went to 70 over the next month. Now it's back down in that $40 area because they're doing an offering and they have, you know, the lockup expiration and stuff. So once they get past that, obviously this would be the second earnings report. Pay attention again to what it does after earnings. Acacia is the other recent IPO that had earnings and the stock just went crazy. So that's really important. Definitely IPO, their earnings after they come to public, that sets the tone.
Yeah.
And if the stocks aren't reacting well, like you, any kind of the, I mean, a majority of the IPOs recently, like your Potbellies from years ago, you know, the Container Stores, you can see these.
Yeah.
They were in the 20s and now they're in the single digits. And yeah, you could definitely get out based on what the earnings did. I mean, the earnings reports came out and the stock kind of just got slammed.
Yeah.
So get out.
Yeah.
Forced
That's
too late.
A good. Okay, so there's some real good tips in here, but I did have one final question. So do you have like a war story of, you know, one of your great trades or one that you learned a lot of lessons on by doing the after-hour trading in your 10 years of doing this?
Yeah, you know, I've had a lot of great moves where, you know, I was up some money on the day and I quadrupled it. Or even more, you know, and it made my quarter
yeah.
on some of these earning moves. But I've also had some bad ones
right.
that have completely destroyed a month or a quarter. And First Solar was one way back in the day when that was like a $170, $200 stock. I remember this was somewhere during the financial crisis or shortly thereafter. I was having one of my best months or quarters ever. And First Solar took a huge bite out of that. And that was a huge lesson. I got stubborn that it would come back. It got crushed and kept going down. It was one of those things where I kept adding big size.
Oh.
And it got to a point where I just had to blow out of it. And that was a big lesson learned. And I don't think I ever did that again with the earnings. It taught me a valuable lesson not to be stubborn, not to size up when you're wrong. I think that's a huge problem people make is when they are stubborn, they'll add to their position. And so, they'll, you know, 1,000 shares, 2,000 shares, 3,000 shares. And when you're in a stock like First Solar that moves around, you know, 100 plus stock and that thing's down 30 points, that starts to add up.
Yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
You learn your lesson pretty fast.
Okay. Well, that's a good lesson to learn.
Yeah.
And I'm sure people listening to this who are going to try to trade the after hours will have to learn it as they go along.
Yeah. My recommendation would be just to start small, start easy, take your time, be patient, don't be greedy. Like I'm talking about a lot of stuff where I've been very, very aggressive and with bigger size. So I don't want people to jump in like that. But yeah. I think nimble is the key here. Stay nimble and cut your losers for sure.
Don't. Yeah, that's the number one.
Yeah.
Even in normal trading.
Yeah, definitely. That's, yeah. You know, capital preservation is key, no yeah. matter what kind of trading you're doing.
Yeah. Okay. This is really good because I didn't know that much on how to trade the after hours, even though we always are talking about it.
Yeah, but it's fun.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
I mean, it's a shoot for your hip kind of thing. And if you're into that high adrenaline kind of stuff, this is for you. Obviously, if you're used to investing in dividend stocks, don't do
right.
this.
Right, that would be me.
Don't do this.
Right, I'll just live vicariously through you.
Sure, okay, sounds good. You don't sit too far away.
Right, that's right. So if you want to know even more, you can listen to some of our other podcasts. Jeremy and I have covered a lot of other trading things, like how to short stocks. That was a good one. I don't know how to do that either, so I have to rely on Jeremy for that too. But you can check out all our podcasts on iTunes and on SoundCloud. We have a lot of old episodes, but they're good. To give you a general background on these trading situations, really. And Jeremy also has a lot of good articles on Zacks.com. You can check those out. And he's trading in his Counter-Strike portfolio, too. He's long and short over there. So you can check that out. You can always do a trial of the Counter-Strike and see what his positions are. So this covers how to trade the after hours. And we'll have more for you again next week. I'll see you then.